My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the Duckfeed show about the Vince Gilligan universe of Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
And the end times are here, baby.
Mm-hmm. The penultimate times.
Yeah.
Dramatic name.
A less dramatic a name, and also one that nobody uses correctly. Except no, you, true. Just there.
Just me and you while hearing it. Quick apology, still in my new house. They are remodeling the house next to me. So if any, Ryona, if that's coming through, a kind of growling machine that's going on, that isn't the entity. don't worry about the entity. That's actually equipment and people fixing a house.
Yeah. Be honest, Gary. That's not only the entity. It's not just the entity.
Yeah, the entity adds a soupçon of menace to this whole thing. But it's nothing compared to the creature. So yeah, between the two.
Sounds like somebody's running a leaf blower or some kind of saw.
It is a saw. I don't think it's the saw's all. That was much louder. This is the saw sum that they like to use.
Okay.
Here. And I thought they were done with this part, but it turns out like completely gutting a house and rebuilding it, there's a lot of steps.
Yeah.
They started this well before we moved in. I really thought this would be done, but naive on my part.
Not exactly a six-pack project.
Yeah.
So this episode was written by Moira Wally Beckett and Thomas Schnauz and directed by Vince Gilligan. And it originally aired on October the 2nd of 2011.
Yeah. And the first and one, there might be one other one later, but at the very least, the first episode that Vince Gilligan directs and doesn't write.
Yes.
This episode basically takes place in real time. This picks up right after Crawl Space. The DEA is putting Hank and his entire family under protective custody, except for Walt, who refuses, because Walt thinks people are going to come kill him and wants to take this punishment on for himself.
Yes.
You know, it is, he is suicide by Gus in the beginning of this episode until he kind of realizes he can't do that and comes up with a plan.
Yes, he has a little chance-based eureka moment.
Yes,
that gives him one of the most horrible ideas he ever has.
Yeah, that somehow works. Mm-hmm. This is a Rube Goldberg machine of motivations and kind of chess stuff that's coming through. That is like undeniably cool and thrilling. The climax to season four of the show is good.
Mm-hmm.
It does stretch credulity a little bit.
Yeah.
In terms of everyone having to react exactly the way that you guess they will.
Yeah.
Kind of on both sides of this.
Mm-hmm.
The way they kind of accomplish this, and this, first time I watched this, I don't know if, speaking for you, total surprise.
Yeah.
Everything that happened, did not expect any of it. The way they kind of keep you in the dark with that is that characters are constantly checking in on Walt, but Walt is gone for most of the episode.
Yes.
We constantly hear him not answering his phone.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, what's going on behind that Walter White picket fence? Like, what is he doing back there? We don't get to find out until next episode, really.
Right. We see a part of it episode a little bit. But most of the time, if we do get a check in on him, he's, sitting by the pool or by a window, seemingly just waiting passively. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of action that we do not see. I like this decision quite a bit.
Same.
Just because there's not a doubling of effort. So this is the result of a time crunch. They shot this alongside the series finale, the next episode, Face Off. And for runtime and production cost reasons, they had to cut the scenes where Walt and Jesse kind of put together how their plan was going to operate.
Which I didn't need to see.
Yep.
It's fun to watch those kind of things because it's fun to watch a scheme.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting the results and keeping us in the dark the same way that the other characters, like kind of almost shifting our POV, to the family, is really smart in this. There's a less smart with this being shot at the same time as the next one. There's a less smart decision that happened. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an accident. We'll talk about that. And we get to kind of one of the climactic scenes of this.
Yes.
And we start out with, we have it in the notes as a cold open, and I refer to it as cold open. This is an extremely hot open.
Yes.
This is just what happens before the credits.
We're, in the middle of the action, right? So we left Walt cackling and then kind of falling catatonic in the crawl space. Now things are in motion. Right.
Yes.
The threat has been called into the DEA. Walt had arranged that for Saul to do that. And Walt and Skyler are packing things up for, you know, Junior, Skyler, and Holly to be taken over to Hex.
Yep. The idea they're going to all hole up there. And Walt drops this bombshell on Skyler. I'm not going.
Right.
You're only in danger because of me. You don't know these people. I promise. If I'm there, you're not safe.
Mm-hmm.
And Skyler, this is some genuineness, you know, between the white couple here. Skyler is like, this doesn't matter. You just need to be safe. Like, all of those things don't matter. Mm-hmm. We need to keep you safe. And there's this great moment, you know, in terms of what this episode elides, she says, you know, there's got to be another way. And he goes, there isn't. There was, but now there isn't. He doesn't say, you sold our other way to Ted. You know, I had a plan for this. You know, you did this without consulting me and it kind of messed things up.
Yeah.
You know, that's not me litigating the rightness of Skyler's actions. Like, it made sense, but mm-hmm. we just skipped that whole fight, whatever that, yes. you know, him cackling in the basement and her kind of guilt, mm-hmm. a whole lot of them talking happened.
Yeah.
In this, and we skip it. We just get him resigned. There isn't, mm-hmm. there was, but now there isn't.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah. I like that misery is not heaped on top of the actual pressing circumstances.
It's practical. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's rare in fiction that somebody actually treats an emergency like an emergency basically ever. Drives me nuts. Here's, you know, at least, you know, say what you will about Walt, he is treating an emergency like an emergency.
Yes. And she asks, you know, when are you going to have this worked out? And there's a tragedy to this because she thinks it's going to work out. Walter says, oh, Skyler.
Yeah.
You know,
I think this is genuine. I think this is, mm-hmm. you know, from the heart. He says, like, you know, because of this, I've made certain choices. I have to face those consequences. I've been living on borrowed time for a year now. Mm-hmm. We cannot prolong the inevitable. I'm going to do this. Basically, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. Gus is going to come kill me. The only thing I can do is hope to keep you safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so like they go out to the car, you know, as, mm-hmm. As they're getting loaded up and Walt puts on his happy face, you know, as mm-hmm. Academy Award performance here, you know, talking to Hank.
I got a car wash.
Oh, trust mm-hmm. me. They're right. Why would they think to go after me? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he just kind of like, just loves on his daughter for a little bit and it's time to go.
Similar to like a Cold Stone Creamery, I have a bell whenever Holly shows up.
Uh-huh.
And I ring it and I hoot and holler and do a little like jig around the house.
Because the child was accounted for?
The MacGuffin child has appeared. Sarah watches him have this moment. It's very sweet. Yeah. You know, and for a moment it seems like they're going to hug and they don't. Like they have this history, you know, like Walt and Jesse, like they do love each other.
Yeah.
You know, what is love and what it means gets perverted in Walter Wright a little bit.
I also read this as like, they know that this is probably at this moment, this is probably the last time they're going to see each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I almost got a little bit choked up there. When there is that moment with somebody, mm-hmm. right? Where it's like, okay, yeah, I know this. Like, there's got to be a time that you walk away. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, so them not agonizing over it and just treating it, not treating this like it's a huge emergency, because also that would give it away to the DEA.
They have to look casual. They're, you know, they're dedicated to the masquerade.
Yes.
You know, a little bit like this is really good. Really rich. Walt goes to the backyard sitting by the pool and he keeps spinning his gun. Like he's mm-hmm. armed because he thinks someone's going to come kill him. He spins the gun at the table and it keeps pointing at him. Mm-hmm. I really like this. He's just kind of idly thinking and he doesn't accept the result of it. You know, like this, if he's saying, you know, flipping the coin on the four corners or whatever, right? Yeah. This is a parallel to that. He's mm-hmm. leaving something up to chance and then deciding not to.
Yeah.
You know, just fucking kill yourself, dude. Kill yourself. Kill yourself. The gun says kill yourself until eventually he spins it and it points at a potted plant and you get to see the wheels turn in his head.
Yeah.
Here.
Now it's pretty clear, you know?
Oh, what? Yes. But we don't know what that plant is or anything either. Yeah. Only in retrospect, right? Like,
yes.
They didn't set this up. They didn't have Junior, don't go near that plant.
Yeah.
You, whatever you do, buddy, don't eat that. I know it smells like breakfast, but it's not.
Lily of the Valley famously smells like pancakes.
It smells like egg. Don't eat it though. They didn't set this up. in any way. Like they could have, and it would have been really obnoxious and worse storytelling.
I only bring this up because like all for the week between these two episodes, you know, like all anybody, like there were people saying, oh, that's Lily of the Valley. You know, that's probably what happened here. And then just everybody just really pissily arguing with each other about it.
Yeah,
man, watching stuff in real time sucked in that way.
I've decided I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of in general, maybe an X-Men 97 season 2 comes back. So he gets an idea and then we leave him for like a while.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get to see him develop this or think out loud or talk it through with anybody. I really love it. Mm-hmm. We cut over to Hank and Marie's, and Junior, is super pissed. He's pissed that dad didn't come and he blames his mom.
Yes.
You know, like how hard did you try? You know, and mm-hmm. this has been a running theme.
Yeah,
Hank comes to her defense, and Marie goes, it's your problem too. You didn't make Steve mm-hmm. do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he needs to be here.
Yeah. There's a fun exchange in this where Hank is like, I couldn't force him to go because it's not Nazi Germany. And Marie goes, why does it always come down to,
yeah.
why does everybody always say that?
The nonstop thing Marie is hearing. And Hank basically says, like, nobody's actually in danger. Like, I got too close to something. You know, I'm not on the job and I'm in a wheelchair. Like, I am not a threat. Why would this be happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody doesn't like the way I've been spending my free time. And Junior goes, minerals, and he ignores this. I would really like it if the evil Gemtor was the one who, like, this whole plot in emotion. They could have done a real twist at this point.
just a huge quartz golem rises from beneath the Sandias. Hank gives the back of the envelope version of his speculation about Poyos Hermanos and Madrigal. And Gomi's here, and they're kind of having a little argument about how implausible it is. And even, you know, like Junior says, this is a bit of a reach. And Skylar asks, well, is the DEA looking into this?
Yeah.
And this additional pressure, you know, from outside people, gets Gomi to relent on going to check the laundry. And Hank goads him into going there without a warrant.
A good old-fashioned knock and talk. Mm-hmm. I love that Skylar is putting the pieces together here.
Yeah.
Like in the background, she's hearing, you know, the laundry and stuff. And she, like, I don't think that if you asked her, you were like, where does Walt work? She wouldn't necessarily mm-hmm. be like, oh, that laundromat.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's getting there. Like you watch her kind of processing this and kind of putting the pieces together. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a nice little Gomi highlight scene because that doesn't happen. You know,
it doesn't.
Gomi gets to show up and succeed in a fast talk role on the manager of the laundry. You know, he's like, hey, you know, this I busted a cook. He's got a father who's a senator. You probably know which one. He's the drugs weren't his. He just showed up from the laundry he's at.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is stupid. Senator's son though, right? The guy's like, hi, you know, you can't do that. I gotta check with my boss. And he's like, well, you know, we're gonna have to shut down for a day if we do that.
Yeah.
You know, me and my friend, we could just look real quick right now. Like classic. This is me cinema sensing. One of Mike's guys being like, yeah, that's weird to me in this, just because shutting down for the day, the laundry would probably be better than
the whole operation, like the actual money-making part of Gus's whole thing being busted.
Or just, you know, risking this or anything like that. Like not that he wouldn't necessarily ultimately decide that. I could imagine Gus or Mike being like, let him do it, you know, but he didn't make a phone call.
Yeah.
Like,
he also made this call before he saw the other part of the search team, which is a canine.
True. Yeah.
Yep. With, you know, drug dog.
Yeah. Can you tell him as well? You know, he has to get permission. And the drug dog comes out, you know, he has to clear out his people anyway, and Gomi and the drug dog start sniffing and taking photos.
Yeah. The dog doesn't point at anything. Nope. You know, they just go around and taking pictures of the equipment and stuff to go back and, you know, look over for
their boring blog. for Gomi's laundry blog.
Yeah, Industrial Laundries of the Southwest. What a terrible title for a blog, it. Gomi.
What a horrible Tumblr, Gomi. Gomi, you fucked up.
The camera kind of pans down to Jesse and Tyrus in the lab, and you know, Jesse shuts down the machines.
Yeah.
You know, and the call comes in. It's Gus calling for Jesse, and fucking Tyrus, yeah. Like, oh, he says, it's for you. And then doesn't extend the phone. He makes Jesse come all the way over and grab it from by his
reach
head.
Out of, like, his neck. Yeah. Fucking Tyrus. And Gus says, you know, do you know what's happening? Yeah, I have a pretty good guess. Your former partner did this. Yeah. Do you understand why this is a problem? Why this can't continue? Mm-hmm. You know, and Jesse's, you know, thinks about it. Like, he's like, yeah, this fucking sucks. But he's like, I can't. No, you can't kill Mr. White. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing a line in the sand. If you do that, there's going to be a problem. So what are you going to do? And then Gus turns around and says there will be an appropriate response and hangs up on him before he can ask a follow up question.
Yeah. This attempt to wedge won't work.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
The DEA leaves. They didn't find anything. Jesse starts up the machine. We get a little time lapse here. Jesse has to get dropped off in the middle of the desert to get in his car. Mm-hmm. And he decides, like, man, this is fucked up, tries to check in with Walt, goes straight to voicemail.
Yes.
But he checks his messages and finds tons of voicemails from Saul.
Yes. Here. Hey, client, we probably need to talk soon.
Get over here, you know?
Yeah. He goes there and, Huell frisks him. The front door. Never happened before. Could be plausibly written down to just the panic that Saul's in. You know, like, oh, it can never be too safe these days.
I didn't look at it twice when I first saw it, you know.
No. Yeah. It's a bodyguard. Okay.
Yeah.
Just, you know, things are volatile. You know, and Saul is hunched over and pulling money out of the safe like he has been for two episodes.
Nonstop, like, stream of money.
Yeah.
He says the title, you know, end times are here, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse asks what's going on? He's like, oh, you haven't talked to your partner recently, have you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, just, I'm sure it's fine, but you're going to want your money. I'm out. I'm going to disappear for a little while. I'm done with this whole thing. And Jesse, you know, when he says, you know, oh, you haven't talked to your partner, thinks it's about the DEA servant, DEA search.
Yes.
You know,
which Saul doesn't know about.
Saul doesn't know about. And Saul goes, no, you know, actually, you know, Walt, he said the whole thing about his family getting threatened. Uh-huh. You know, and Jesse doesn't know about that.
Right.
Here.
It's like, but wait, Jesse, a minute, when did that happen?
Yeah. Jesse thinks that, you know, him and Gus have an understanding. He's not going to move at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Gus isn't going to play that game. Right. And this is what reminded me of the episode that, like, oh, last night was when he stopped by and got cattle prodded and stuff and taken out to the desert. Like, that all just happened.
Yes.
You know, short amount of time here.
Yeah. You know, Saul asks Jesse to put in a good word with Gus, with Fring, for old time's sake, which is fun because across both seasons, they don't meet. At one point, they're in the same room with each other, but Saul doesn't know who Gus is.
Not in this the season. They meet, he goes to Los Pollos Hermanos in Better Call Saul.
He does, but he doesn't know that this is the guy.
He doesn't know this is the guy. But he does meet him because he helps him dig stuff out of the trash.
Right.
I don't know why that is, like, I've only watched that series once. Mm-hmm. I also love, there's a line here where when Saul talks about why he's panicking, where he's like, yeah, they threatened his family, and who am I if I'm not family? love that. Put in a good word for me. You know, I can't afford to butter the wrong bread here. Like, he knows something's going on. He doesn't want to end up on the wrong side of it.
He's got survival instinct, right?
Yeah.
Do a quick check-in over at Hank's. You know, Skylar walks in. Hank is scrolling through the photos from the laundry, and, you know, the place was clean, right?
Yep.
And Skylar goes out, you know, tries to call Walt again, gets to voicemail, and then just goes to smoke out on the deck.
Yep, the sniper. All I could think of was a Hitman level where I had to take out all the Schraders.
You know, you do not light two cigarettes off the same match, Skylar.
No, yeah, you don't do that. You can spot a cherry from good sniper can spot a cherry from mile away. So Jesse's at home. He gets a call. We don't know who it's from, but it's from Andrea. We get that really great one side of an emergency call.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, what, you know, like, that's a very realistic thing if you ever received an emergency call.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with Brock. They're at the hospital.
Yes. So he rushes to her and, you know, she's, you know, tearful. Her son's on the edge of death. You know, it's like he's got the flu, but it just keeps getting worse.
Yes. A nurse comes, keeps him out. He said, no, I'll just be here. You know, don't worry about it. I'll be here if you need me. He walks outside to have a cigarette, but he looks in his pack and the ricin cigarette is gone. Mm-hmm. No. Starts ripping his cigarettes apart, leaving, somebody's just a bounty mm-hmm. on the ground. Somebody like a rat is going to make a nest out of that, or that's like a pigeon yeah. fortress on the ground of half cigarettes. Yeah. And then rushes inside to be like, I can't tell you, why I know this, but Brock might have been poisoned with this stuff called ricin. The mm-hmm. doctors will know what it is. I can't tell you what. That's not important right now. I have to go.
The most suspicious thing possible, but the only action that could result in Brock.
Like saving his life.
Yeah.
As a thing. And this is where I feel like some of the Rube Goldberg machination stuff of Walt ends up getting a little bit implausible during this. It's him thinking that Jesse would think this mm-hmm. automatically, because his points against Jesse are pretty good.
Yeah.
In this, Walt's sitting at home with his gun until Jesse eventually pounds on the door. Trying to get in. Walt lets him in, moves the furniture. And Walt, at this point, this is the thing I was referring to earlier in the episode, is that we talked about this. Walt's not a good liar.
Nope.
Bryan Cranston doesn't play him as a good liar. Bryan Cranston did not know what his character had done at the time he did this scene.
Yes.
He knew the lines and everything, but he did not know that he was meant to be lying mm-hmm. During this. And on one level, I like the end result we got.
Yep.
With this. On the other level, it's like Walt being a shitty liar didn't stop anybody from believing him before. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of stands out as the best performance of his lying career.
Uh-huh.
It feels weird in retrospect in a way that feels totally natural at the time, because I also didn't know what happened.
Right.
It's one of the weirdest beats. The scene, I think, is one of the weirdest beats on rewatch of this show.
Yes. Yeah. It does stick out because he delivers his denials here with absolute conviction, because Jesse is here, to confront him about the ricin. And, Walt, pleads his case as he walks in, saying, "Oh God, Jesse, just are you alone? They took me to the desert. They threatened my family. They threatened my child." And Jesse is not responding to any of this.
Yeah. He doesn't care. He picks up the gun, points it at Walt, and says, "Why did you do it?" And Walt goes, "Oh, like the DEA search, but Jesse goes, "No, not that. You poisoned Brock." I love how Walt goes, "Who?" Mm-hmm. He's like, "Brock, the kid, you saw him last night." Again, that was last night. And Walt is playing dumb. Like, I don't know that kid's name. Mm-hmm. Why would I do that? And they start laying off this case to each other.
Yes.
Jesse says, "I had the ricin cigarette this morning. I saw Brock last night. He was fine. Huell must have lifted the cigarette." He says, when would I have a chance to do this?" He's like, "You mm-hmm. had Saul do it. Huell lifted it off of you." It's wild that he's just right.
Yeah.
About this. Like, super senses.
Yeah. He's got it entirely. Not the only instance of super senses in this episode.
Yeah. 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 The other, I want to talk about that when we get there too, because that's interesting.
Yeah.
And Walt makes his case. Again, Cranston didn't know. It's like, why in God's name would I poison a child? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what I do. And Jesse goes, to get back at me, "I'm helping Gus. You want to rip my heart out before I'm dead."
Yeah.
You have this vengeance mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yeah. And Walt is denying it. They do the thing where somebody's holding a gun to their head and the other person goes, "Shoot me," and grabs the gun and puts it to their forehead. I couldn't be me, because what if they shoot?
His finger's on the trigger, right?
Yeah. What if just an accident happens at that point? You don't do that.
You're yanking the gun away from the person holding it. Like,
it even feels like if they held their hand in a certain way, it would just automatically pull the trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
To do that. This is bad advice. Don't do this.
Even if it's to freak out the squares.
Yeah, don't, never. Wolverine gets to do it, because he won't die, but that's it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Jesse shoves Walt down, gun pointed, pressed at his forehead, right? And just, admit it. "Yeah, I'm going to kill you, but I need you to admit it to me." And then we get Walt cackling again, get a little bit of crawl space energy up. It's free. It's roaming. Mm-hmm. Jesse kicks him, saying, "Hey, stop laughing." And Walt says, "I have been waiting all day for Gus to send one of his men to kill me. And it's you."
The ultimate irony, and again, twisting the knife.
Yeah.
On him, and driving the wedge. Like, who do you know that's, okay with using children? Mm-hmm. And Jesse's like, "No, that doesn't make any sense. Only you and I know about the ricin." And Walt says, "You don't even believe that." There are cameras everywhere. Tyrus could have grabbed the cigarette from your locker. You had it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
You know, this plays into exactly what Gus wants. His last piece of the puzzle, he wants to turn you against me, and boy, he's done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kill me if you think I'm actually capable of this, you know, yeah. But again, also kind of playing on Jesse's insecurity about not being, you know, part of the Mind Wars Cerebrum edition.
Yeah.
Of this, you know, of being a foot soldier, like mm-hmm. him saying, yeah, if you just want to be a tool, and kind of his arc has been like, I'm not that, I'm actually an important piece of this operation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is very canny on Walt here, because he knows that the involvement of Brock, you know, is the thing that is going to get Jesse to move. He yes. has to reverse it. He has to use Gus's, you know, previous history, you know, with Tomas, right?
Yeah.
In order to make it appear that the thing he very much did is actually, you know, Gus's action. He uses, you know, Gus's past mistake against him.
Well, and it's also everyone who goes down in this, like, on some level is an architect of their demise.
Yeah.
You know, in this way, or at least, you know, depending on who they are, like, Hank is, because he gets, you know, we talk about this, like, Walt is an operative of his demise, getting Hank back on the case. Mm-hmm. Hank is an operative of his demise by not, you know, leaving well enough alone mm-hmm. when he finds out, and getting, you know, continually, like, Walt trying to do him like that. This is Gus doing that, both between his vengeance, like his Hector quest, mm-hmm. and him doing this crapulent thing, you know?
I hated all the instant fail puzzles in Hector Quest.
Hector Quest is not well, and the gun has that weird sine wave
uh-huh.
thing. Like you get powered down when you get hit, and like sometimes yeah. if you're in the sewer in Hector Quest, you just can't shoot.
Yeah, yeah, it goes right past them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really frustrating.
Terrible.
So Jesse's gonna go kill Gus, and mm-hmm. Walt's like, "No, you idiot! You won't even get close to him," you know. And you know Jesse doesn't care. Like yeah. his guilt at getting Tomas involved in this whole thing, fuck it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to do this one way or another, Mr. White. And Walt says, let me help.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and this is where they come to play in. Yep.
An epic team up. Yeah.
Yes. Marvel team up number 38.
Yes.
Yeah.
So cut forward again. It's the middle of the night and Jesse goes back to the hospital, you know, going back into the ICU. You know, the nurses threatened to call security and, you know, though Jesse gave them this information to check for the ricin, Andrea doesn't trust him. You know, yeah. she doesn't even look over to him.
Like, why don't you check this rare thing that only I know? You know, she knows he's involved, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
why don't you check this thing that, like, the one time it's been used, it was through a Joker umbrella on a Soviet operative.
It is this thing that we are in the work that has raised the consciousness of this above the substrate of human uh-huh. knowledge. Like, this is the most famous poison in the world because we're making it the most famous poison in the world as we speak.
Yes.
Yeah. I love this scene. We get a time lapse this morning. You know, Jesse's asleep at the hospital and Tyrus wakes up and is, you know, Tyrus is an asshole, shoves him, says, time to go to work. And Jesse mm-hmm. goes, like, I'm not going to work. I told you I'm not coming. The batch is going to be ruined. I don't give a shit. And mm-hmm. I love this shades again of Hank, or not Hank, Walt using the public perception mm-hmm. against Tyrus. Tyrus is better about not getting himself seen, but mm-hmm. he is not above doing thug shit.
Yeah,
you know, in public. That's not a racially charged thing. He is Gus's henchman.
Yeah, henchman. He's a tough hired goon.
He's a tough. Yeah, yeah. I just realized, like, oh no.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Henchman stuff. Uh-huh. So Tyrus grabs him, and Jesse again takes the fact that takes the masquerade as a mm-hmm. shield. Like, I don't know this guy. Calls security, and Tyrus immediately leaves.
Yeah.
No. He just jets.
You know, this is Jesse, you know, he has a motivation, a public motivation. He wants to be close in case anything happens to Brock. But here, you know, he is also very intentionally trying to draw Gus.
Yes. In. Yeah. If your boss wants to talk to me, he can talk to me himself.
Yes.
We cut over to Walt in Jesse's kitchen making something on the stove. We see these ripped open cold packs and the telltale cap to a pipe bomb.
No.
So we know it's a pipe bomb. And Walt checks his text and says, I think he got his attention.
Yes.
So Walt tests out his homemade remote detonator
mm-hmm.
that he's made. It takes a bunch of tries, but it eventually works.
Yeah. Yeah. His little ampho bomb there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get the kind of climax of this this episode. So, like, Gus arrives at the hospital, parks his car in the garage. Tyrus brings Jesse to Gus, who's in the hospital chapel here. And Gus says, you know, surely you understand it's in your best interest for the cook to go on. Like, I understand the boy is sick, but we need this. Is there anything I can do? I'm on the hospital board. I can get the best doctors for Brock. I can do all this stuff. And I love, so like, I mean, I'll mention it when we get to the end of this, because it, watching this again kind of cast new light on me. This similar to how Skyler was putting things together, you know, Gus is making the same expression when Jesse says, you know, Brock isn't sick, he's been poisoned. I don't, you know, the doctors aren't going to fix him. I need to be here in case he dies. And you can see the wheels turning in Gus's head as well. During this, he knows something is wrong.
Somebody had
to have done that.
It's a very unusual situation. And kid's poisoned, and Gus thinks that Walt is less than a worm, right?
Yes.
Gus, he doesn't think that Walt would, you know, if his child is threatened, that Walt wouldn't.
He literally says it.
Yeah.
If you make it, Gale was a good person, but if you make it between him and my family, I'm going to choose my family every time. Like, he literally just told that to his face.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So Gus takes a breath and says, you know, Jesse, you can stay. And almost like ask it like a framing question. Says, you know, surely the batch is ruined. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Tyrus will dump it and you can get back to work next week, let's say.
Yep. Right? We'll stop chasing after sunk cost here.
Yes.
Gus, Tyrus, and the driver walk back out to the garage, and Walt is watching them with binoculars. There he has the detonator. You know, there you are. He's going to blow up the car.
This is him in the hunched over bomb goblin mode.
Like, yes, he's bomb.
When he went to go build the pipe bomb, he put on his brightest green shirt and his face is still all bandaged up. And he's like, come on, I'm going to. Like, he's talking like Danny Glover's character in Saw.
He's a dark man villain during this for some reason. Like, dark man versus the bomb goblin. this is a very famous scene, like when we talk about fan reaction, because Gus gets a view of the car, he stops, and you can see him doing the math in his head.
Yes.
He walks out and looks out, and they keep showing us this from his perspective, so we can see that he cannot see Walt.
Right.
They continuously do that. Like, you know, you think maybe he saw Walt, and that's why he gets cold feet. You can't see it, you know, and eventually just turns to leave. He skips out, and Walt thought this was his only chance. You know, he despairs missing this chance to blow him up. This has caused no end of like stupid internet essays.
Yeah.
Of like, how did Gus know? And people have asked Giancarlo Esposito this, and he's just like, Spidey sense, man, because he's a funny dude.
Because he's like, great. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's because he knows something's wrong.
Yeah.
He's just being super cautious. Like, I remember the first time I watched this, maybe not putting it completely together and making it feel a little bit like, oh, this is just an instinct.
Yeah,
you know, this is intuition, but it's more than that, because he literally has this poison piece in his head. He's like, something's wrong. I need to break up my routine. Like, he's just smarter than that. It's not Spidey sense.
This whole thing has been a chess game, right?
Yes.
And Gus has been a few moves ahead at every time. You know, maybe right now he's fewer moves ahead than he previously had been, but it doesn't take a lot. You know, knowing what we know and knowing what Gus knows, to put together that, you know, calling a cab is way less of a risk than getting in this car that has been out of my sight for plausibly a half an hour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's somebody who does not think anything of Walt's morals, but Walt has outmaneuvered him in chess before. Right, again, with the Gale thing, like, he doesn't not respect Walt's ability to do this. He's just a careless fuck up who lets his emotions get in the way.
Right.
You know, he knows how to play the game, you know, and they decide, you know, he's like, well, yeah, game recognized game. I can't do this. This is dumb. Yep. It ends up being working out really well, even though it ends up being a CinemaSend thing to infinity.
To me, back when I was watching it contemporaneously, I remember thinking like, oh, I like, it was not a, it like, it wasn't even for me like a, oh, well, this is just lazy writing or whatever. It was just a heightening of the stakes. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was basically, I was along for the ride. I just thought it was kind of badass.
it's very badass. It's one of the things that I think on initial glance kind of contributes to the cartoonification of Breaking Bad. But now that I've watched it several times and I'm a little bit older, the cartoonification comes from Walt's insane plan that revolves around everyone acting exactly how he wants them to.
Yes.
You know, it's not, and the later parts of it where he like, you know, oh, he's gonna taunt Hector, stuff like that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Him just saying, Jesse will show up, threaten me, but not kill me. Mm-hmm. For this. And this is what's going to break that, you know, break the wedge. That still feels very Rube Goldberg to me.
Yeah. Like all he, you know, it was a gamble on his part. Right. And it's like, okay, I need to get myself and Jesse in the same room. Right.
Yeah. And it pays off in season 5, which you talk about, where like, you know, just because you shot Jesse James doesn't make you Jesse James. Him being good at this part of the game does not mean he's good at the rest of it. You know, and that is what made me ultimately come to peace with season 5 of this, where before I think I might have had a little bit more time for the argument that like this is the real climax of the show, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a popular opinion that like once Gus is gone, the show loses something. I think it's important as a coda to the what had come before. But like, it's watching him be good at this and absolutely fuck up everything else.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, for all of the idolizing that people did of Walt, still do of Walt, right? You know, there's always the argument, which is like, oh, he never thrived because he didn't get a chance to, you know, to actually do what he wanted to do. He was always under Skyler's thumb, or you know, he was always being held down by Gus and this, you know, having somebody else over him, right? Getting Walt into a situation where he is entirely unencumbered, even by morality, right? Like he's sailed past pretty much every exit off of the, you know, highway to monsterdom.
Bad choice road. So we call that.
Yeah. Yes. I prefer highway to monsterdom.
You know, that was actually the alternate episode name for that.
I think it is very important to show that no, Walt, with pretty much everything working in his favor, he still could not make this work.
No, he's there's a lot of luck going on with Walt. I remember seeing the meme where it's like, you know, Breaking Bad, if there was no Skyler, and it just shows everybody having a big party. And it's so gross and sexist and dumb. Like, you didn't watch the fucking show. Like, you just saw a lady and you were like, no, no. Like, ooh. It's funny too, because we, in season 5, we're going to get Lydia. Lydia is a piece of shit. Uh-huh. Like, if you're going to hate somebody who's going to fuck everything up.
Yeah.
Like, we get a Lady Gus. Uh-huh. You know, we get a worse, crappier, shittier Gus who's actually evil. Like, internet guys,
the worst.
Yeah, weird. But that's End Times. A weird episode that like this is place sitting and tension ratcheting. Mm-hmm. You know, when you actually recount everything that happens, I kind of remembered more stuff happening in this episode than actually happens. Like, it takes its time. You know, the scene with Skyler going out and having the cigarette, you know, the scenes, basically anything we're checking in with the Schraders, has kind of a shaggy non-derogatory feel to it.
Yeah. And I think it is a really good, really good play on their part. Right. And people had to know that Gus wasn't going to die in the next to last episode. Right.
No. Yeah. It's that's weirdly a Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah.
You do the actual last episode entirely for setup, but that's not what Breaking Bad does.
Nope.
Thanks everybody for listening. If you have thoughts about season 4, now is the time. Or possibly too late. Yeah, the last time we told you was the time was actually the time.
Yeah.
If you have anything good, send it in anyway. Maybe we'll put it in at some point. But we collect responses for these during the whole season at duckfeed.tv/contact.
Yeah. If a thought ever occurs to you. Specifically about the season.
Whoa there. Day or night. You're gonna want to at Cole Ross on Blue Sky if a thought occurs to you.
Please don't. Just go to duckfeed.tv/contact and click the best quality vacuum button. It'll get to where it should go. Otherwise you can support us by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, get a whole bunch of bonus content, and support our operation.
Yeah, and join us in thanking our producer, Gwen, who also composed the theme song.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. And until next time, like, I guess, you know, just wait a week. Wait 2 weeks. Yeah. If you're enjoying this recap, if you're somehow experiencing this vicariously and haven't seen the show, and you now had to wait 2 weeks instead of 1 week, like we all had to wait, watch the show. You got a week. Binge it.
Go ahead. We did spoil everything for you. So
yes.
It's fine.
But, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.